My thoughts on the Roe versus Wade overturning, a 5-minute Bible study. I sat down about 30 minutes ago only to make a note that would remind me of the date that Roe versus Wade was overturned. One thing turned into another, and voila, here we are. I don't follow politics except as far as they bear on the moral and ethical issues of life and faith, but this Supreme Court decision has a humongous bearing on both of those things. And so this isn't a political article, but I thought I would share a few points of reasoning on the abortion topic, and maybe others will benefit from this as well. So here we go. Number one, the overturning of Roe versus Wade doesn't mean that abortion has been made illegal in America. That it just means that the most recent ruling has relegated abortion legislation to each state's decree. But that still means that millions of babies will be saved just by this fact alone. And because of this fact, June 24th, 2022, will go down as one of the greatest days in American history. Now, many have already called this day dark and oppressive, but for those people who have a soul, it's truly a momentous day. I woke up this morning and I prayed singularly about this event and made many thanksgivings to God for the victory that has been won for innocent lives. Number two. Now, getting down to abortion arguments themselves, the pro-choice argument is built on what I call rhetorical hijacking. Pro-choicers use rhetoric that tries to make the issue sound like it's about denying women the right to health care or reproductive health and the right to choose what they do with their own bodies. This is a diversion tactic. It's a lie. The same tactic is used by proponents of critical race theory, transgender theory, and many other immoral theories to divert from the real issue. This tactic attempts to take attention off the fact that abortion denies the baby in the womb, not the woman's tissue, the right to continue living. It denies the baby in the womb the availability to health care of any kind. Pro-choice vocabulary is completely about self-centered human satisfaction at the cost of other human life. Do those who believe a woman should have the right to choose what she does with her body believe that other women should have the right to choose whether or not they own a gun? I am opening up a landmine by bringing in the gun issue, but for clarification, I don't have a dog in the gun control fight. I only bring up this issue to expose the hypocrisy at large and uncover the real issue. It's not about a woman's right to choose. It's about how your choice affects other innocent human lives. People understand this without difficulty when someone makes the choice to take a gun and kill a dozen innocent human lives who are 8 years outside the womb. When that happens, no one's arguing for the murderer's right to choose anything. In these moments of lucidity, even pro-choice advocates are right. Murder is not about anyone's right to choose anything. Number three, the last sentence leads nicely into my next point, and that is that the debate over abortion is unequivocally a debate over first-degree murder of human life. Call it murder. Don't call it abortion. When someone asks you why you don't believe in abortion, clarify the issue by calling it what it is, murder. Pro-choice is really pro-murder. Number four, the pro-choice argument claims to support women's rights. But this is completely hypocritical, as the only women that the pro-choice position actually lobbies for are those women that are outside the womb and of reproductive maturity. It cares absolutely nothing at all for those women who are 5 weeks, 20 weeks, or 37 weeks old. No, those girls, future women, those girls' rights don't matter according to the pro-choice argument. Number five, now for a quotation from President Ronald Reagan on the abortion issue that clarifies the hypocrisy of the pro-choice argument. Reagan is quoted as saying, "I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion has already been born." That's interesting enough. No need to elaborate. Abortion theory is purely hypocritical. Number six, what is a person? Matt Walsh recently made a documentary exposing transgender theory called What is a Woman? I highly recommend everyone watch it. The basic premise of his work rests on the simple fact that the transgender advocates can't even define what a woman is. They advocate for men becoming women and women becoming men, but they can't define the very thing that men are supposedly becoming when they castrate themselves and put on a dress. The monotony and the sheer stupidity of the transgender argument is relegated to melted ice with a simple question. I was listening to Matt Walsh's latest podcast this morning about the Roe versus Wade overturning, and he made the same point about the abortion argument. To call the point he made brilliant makes the argument sound more sophisticated than it is, but just the same, it is a brilliant point. And it's, the point is this. The pro-choice argument hinges on the fact that a baby inside the womb, and depending on the person you're talking to, they might say it's 20 weeks or 37 weeks, just ask the person. But their argument, the baby inside the womb isn't actually a person. That's the argument. And so the question becomes, what is a person? And they can't answer this simple question. Why? Because their argument is built on a house of lies, as the elf, played by Will Ferrell in the movie The Elf, tells the fake Santa in Santa's workshop in Manhattan. And he also tells Santa, you smell like beef and cheese. Take all the elf says and cross-apply as you will. If you can't even define what a woman is, then how are you okay with exterminating something that you're not even sure whether or not it's a person? Ray Comfort uses this last argument brilliantly in his free YouTube movie called 180. I highly recommend watching this movie as well. Number seven, finally, God sees the blood of the innocent. There are several passages listed in this article. And he will repay wicked men and women. There's no doubt. There are some individuals who claim to be pro-choice that are simply carried up in the cultural current. They're naive. They have hope. You don't know who these individuals are until you talk to people and find out. Reason with these people. Lead them to the truth. As for those whose wickedness is deeply ingrained and they're bent on destruction, Psalm 64 has something to say. Listen, verse 1. God, hear my voice when I am in anguish. Protect my life from the terror of the enemy. Hide me from the scheming of wicked people, from the mob of evildoers, who sharpen their tongues like swords and aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from concealed places at the blameless. They shoot at him suddenly and are not afraid. They adopt an evil plan. They talk about hiding traps and say, who will see them? Verse 7. But God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly, they will be wounded. They will be made to stumble. Their own tongues work against them. All who see them will shake their heads. Then everyone will fear and will tell about God's work, for they will understand what he has done. The righteous one rejoices in the Lord and takes refuge in him. All those who are upright in heart will offer praise. Christian Standard Bible.